Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm going to see the Addams Family musical.
Dun-dun-dun-dun. In Gory.
In Carnew.
Nice. Nice, nice. Is that a good musical?
I don't really know it at all.
Okay.
The songs I do know are good, so I'm excited to see. It's a newer musical, which are usually my kind of buzz. And they usually do really good musicals. And my cousin is Morticia. Aaron is Morticia, so.
Slay.
Yeah, that'll be good.
I love the Addams Family, but also I'm not familiar with the musical.
Yeah.
I liked the TV cartoon. I fancied Lurch, is what I'm trying to say here.
Okay.
What does that say about me?
I'm just trying to like conflate that with Keane and it doesn't really add up. They're just not, he's in no way a Lurch-like character.
He's not a butler, he's not tall, and he's not
he doesn't
the strong
lurch.
Silent type. He doesn't lurch around. Yeah, true. Look, you can have more than one type breed.
You can. You also fancied the Lion from the fucking second Lion King. So.
And so did a lot of other people. According to my TikTok, so.
Well, I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah, we'll see.
Where's your
that.
Mic?
It's here. It's very
okay.
Quiet.
It was a little bit, but I just didn't know if you just forgot.
No, I was just winging it. That's an intro, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're listening to Bandwagons. She's down already.
I've had this for 4 weeks. This cough.
I don't know if Adam's going to keep that in, but Brie just coughed extensively and it's a cough she can't get rid of.
Chesty. And it's 4 weeks. I never get sick like this. 4 weeks. And I'm on day 5 of my 5-day antibiotics and steroids. And it has not done anything. So I don't know.
A cough you can't get rid of. I love that Panic at the Disco album.
Is that not? Is it?
No, no. Never. That was a bad joke. Welcome back to Bandwagons. Been a while. Been away. We're back. We were over on Patreon. If you were keeping up with us over there, it's patreon.com/bandwagons. We're back as normal. This is main feed, isn't it? We're back with the masses now.
Yes.
Back with the masses to talk en masse. How were your 3 weeks while I was away? Did you do anything nice? I need you to give me a succinct recap of everything that you did.
What did we do? Like, honestly, November has gone by in a blink, and thanks be to God.
Why?
It's just, November is just such a nothing month, isn't it?
I'm kind of glad I was away for it and away for so long as well, because I really feel like now I'm like, oh, it's Christmas now. You don't have any of that bullshit. Yeah. Like,
yeah, it's like, can we put
horrible.
The tree up? Can we start?
Yeah, just like,
it's just like, yes.
To go back to lurching forward into, you know what I mean? I just feel like I'm,
yeah.
Because it's not, it is obviously Christmas, it's coming up to Christmas in Australia. They still have Christmas, but like, there's a bauble.
It's not wintry. It's
there's
not
a bauble
festive.
On a lamppost and it's fucking 28 degrees. I'm like, this isn't right. Like, this isn't Christmassy at all. I don't feel even the slightest bit Christmassy. And then you get back here and you're like, oh, it's dark at 5 p.m. Seasonal affective disorder. Merry fucking Christmas. Here we go. Yeah. Santa Claus, he's coming to town. But it went by very quickly for you.
Yeah, we went to see the lights getting switched on last weekend. I'm trying to think beyond last weekend, which is just not how my head works anymore.
Who switched them on? Do you have a celebrity in?
Santa was supposed to do it. Actually, to be honest, we it took
There's
too
no bigger
long,
celebrity than Santa, realistically.
We left because he's taken so long.
Oh my God, what a diva.
We saw him from a distance, then we went home because we were hungry and Nora's young enough to not realize she was missing anything.
If I ever got to be like Santa as... I don't know why I would, because one, I'm a woman or whatever, and I'm still in my 20s, but whatever.
Women can be Santas too.
True, I know, but that's a critique of the wider world and them not embracing that Santa can be any gender. Anyway, I digress. If I got to be Santa, like a dress up Santa, one of these things, and I was like the guest of honor, you best believe I'd have a bitchin' ass rider. I'd be asking for everything under the sun. I'd be asking for, and I'd keep it like really on brand for Santa. I'd be asking for like 4 liters of milk,
chestnuts,
so many cookies, chestnuts, loads of carrots for Rudolph, carrot salad.
It's so silly.
So silly. But yeah, that is what I would do. When am I going to ask you? Surely you're a gory enough celebrity at this point that you'd be asked.
Not even remotely.
Let's
Not
start the campaign for next year.
Remotely. Nora is all about it though. For like a week, she was like, Santa, he. And then she was like, no, witch, he. And she was getting all confused. And she was like, Santa, ho, ho, ho. And then now she's in it. She's like, Santa brings presents. Santa has a beard. Like, she's all about it. Way more than I thought she would be at this age. She's like so into it.
She's got all the key facts anyway.
She knows the alphabet. And she can count to 10 in English and Irish. And I... Donna Bragg, I have not taught her any of that. Bridge, I don't know where she's learned that.
Don't start with my child's genius thing because I'm pretty sure
everyone thinks that. Where is she learning this?
Maybe she's going to a hedge school when you're not looking.
Maybe. Like a good old Irish kid.
Someone's teaching her.
She's just continuing to surprise me. It's YouTube. Honestly, I don't want to say that, but it is YouTube. It's fully the television.
Thank God for television. Here, I'm not anti-television here at all.
It takes a village and Miss Rachel is part of my village.
It takes
a
village,
part of my village.
And that village is the TV. Thank you, TV.
Yeah.
Okay, so when I was in Australia, as I already texted to you, but there was one of the malls, I think was it in Melbourne? I can't remember, when I was walking around and they had a full, like, you know the way Brown Thomas do like their Christmas displays, whatever, and everyone comes to see them, whatever. This mall had a full bluey one. But when there was a full, and this wasn't the first day it was open, I doubt it was. Maybe it was, but I doubt it was. There was a full wraparound queue to go see it and like take pictures of it up close. So then people were trying to like edge to the edge of the queue to like take pictures of it. And I was trying to, and then I was like afraid that someone would give out to me. So I didn't do it. But Bluey, he's a big man over there.
It's a girl. She's a girl.
Bluey.
I'm a girl. Yeah. We're going
it's
to see Bluey live.
A girl.
Yeah.
There you go. They're gender unconforming. I'd love to see it.
I know.
But it's Bingo. But I thought Bingo was a boy then.
No,
or maybe I
girls.
Thought Bingo was the girl.
Yeah,
who's
it's
the
not
boy
really, like
the dad.
They're just the dad, yeah. And they have two cousins and they're all girls as well. And they have like friends who are like boys and girls, but Bluey and Bingo are girls. We're going to see Bluey live in the Three Olympia next year.
What's that going to involve? Tell me this and tell me no more.
Way more for me than it is for Nora.
I believe that.
Bluey, Vanilla, if you want a comfort show, Bluey.
Yeah, I do love a good comfort children's television program.
I think my mom and dad put it on one day when they were here with her. And it was like a pop-up option on the, you know, when you turn on the telly and like loads of things pop up and like suggest shows or whatever.
Yeah.
And they must have picked it by that. Or dad had heard about it on the radio or something and put it on. And I just kind of came back and it was on in the background. And it's the writing. I was like, I actually want to see what's going on here. And I don't know, Bluey till I die. I would watch Bluey all day, all night.
There's probably an episode of Bluey, isn't there?
There is definitely an episode of Bluey. People went to college with us who don't have any kids have reached out and been like, we are obsessed with Bluey. We watch Bluey all the time. And not a child in the house.
Not you exposing them. Not you ratting on them. Not you doxing people who went to college with.
I won't name and shame.
You know who you are. Anyway, we're not here to talk about
Bluey.
We will talk about Australia at some point, but we actually, I recorded an episode with our friend of the podcast, Cormac, over in Australia. So I think we might release that over Christmas at some point, and we're going to give our thoughts and takes on Australia. Class. Yes?
Yeah, sounds good.
And I'll get into it a little bit more about how I got on. But
Did you see anybody from Maths?
Long story short, it was good. No, of my list of famous Australian people, I saw no one. But you know what's so infuriating? I was staying in a place in Sydney called Coogee, which is spelt like Coogee, and it really annoys me that it's not pronounced like that. But anyway, that's where I was staying. And then there was a week where I kind of went and did a bit of traveling on my own. And that week where I went and did a bit of traveling on my own, Margot Robbie was in Coogee giving out samples of, she's a gin brand, I think, or some kind of drinks brand, giving out samples in a pub that I'm not missing was an 8-minute walk from the apartment I was staying in.
Oh my God.
Infuriating.
He'd be sick.
To answer your question, the only famous Australian celebrity I saw, I'm not sure she counts as a celebrity. I don't mean that as a read. She's like an influencer. I don't know if she'd consider herself a celebrity. If anyone follows Shona Virtue, she's a like fitness influencer. But the first place I went to breakfast, she was like sitting across from me. I was like, lol, this is gas. She looked great. I didn't approach her because she was having breakfast and so was I. So that was it. Pretty disappointing.
Would you go back? Or is that a spoiler?
We'll talk about it in the pod. I think.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I was going to give my answer, but we'll talk about it in the pod. It's fine.
Okay.
Where were you when you heard the news that Girls Aloud were reuniting? And what was your reaction?
Where was I? Did you? I don't remember where I was. I think I was in the car last week. And at the time I was like, oh yeah, that'd be good. Could go, could not, take it or leave it. And then as of this morning, from listening back and yesterday, listening back to all their old music, I was such a Girls Aloud head.
Yeah.
Like some of my earliest memories are like, I knew every word. I was like, no good advice in the shower this morning. Every single word, except for like some words I thought were different words when I was 9 years old. And sure, I was like, yeah. They're actually dirtier words now. But at the time I was like,
not those dirty words.
Like, let me fill you with my crush, or like, instead of touch, it was like crush and like all these like real innocent words. But I knew every word and I did not know I knew every word. So I think I would go now.
Laura Dempsey, friend of the pod, said the same thing. She shared Graffiti My Heart, Graffiti My Soul. It's an album track, yeah. I think. And she was like, it's so funny how like these things come like rushing back to you. She was like, I know every single word to the song. Like, it's crazy.
What was I going to say? Oh yeah, there was one. It's like, Daddy said you'll never get to heaven, hang until 11 with the wrong crowd or something. And I was like, this morning I had like a whole realization where I was like, I fully thought at like 8 or 9 years old that it was until the age of 11. If you were hanging with the wrong crowd, you won't get to heaven instead of like 11 p.m., which it definitely was or whatever. I don't know. But like took it all so literally. And I was like, they are singing about my life. In fourth class.
You were like, this is all about
like the bad friends I have. Yeah, it was, oh my God, it all came rushing back.
But see, I'm thrilled about the news. I'm really excited. I cannot wait for the live show. I have to get tickets.
Yeah.
I don't remember Popstars The Rivals, where they formed, as like vividly as I kind of thought I did. You know what I mean? It's funny like reading back on it and all the things that you learn, but I remember Sound of the Underground, and I remember that release, and I remember how big of a deal that was, and I remember the chart battle with, do you remember the other band's name? You do, because you've done
information. It's like what the fuck are they called? I don't remember them at all.
One True Voice,
the boy band,
the
One True Voice.
Trust in Me, I remember that, and I remember liking both songs. In hindsight, Fanula, what were you thinking? The boy song was fucking terrible, but I remember Sound of the Underground. I was like, this is so cool. This is so, like, it's like rocky. It's like, and I just remember the furore around the track, but I don't remember the TV show at all. Do you?
No, not at all. And I was looking it up today just to even see, like, I don't remember. And maybe I was just too young and I probably maybe did watch it at the time, but I have no memories of it at all. So I don't know if it was just like one of those, like, British channels that we didn't really watch that much. Do you know what I mean?
It was ITV, but I just think we don't remember it because I definitely watched it 100%. Maybe not consistently, but I definitely at some point came across it and sat down and watched some of it, you know?
Do you want to know what they all sang in their first audition?
Yes, I do.
So in Cheryl's audition for Popstars Arrival, she sang S Club 7's 2001 track. Have you ever? To judges Jerry Halliwell, Louis Walsh and Pete Waterman. And she went straight through to the next band, or to the next round. And then eventually obviously got in the band. And then she ended up becoming a judge on X Factor, which was kind of like a whole full circle moment for her. Obviously, we could do a whole episode on Nadine Coyle and this whole, and her whole like pop stars experience. So when she was 17, she auditioned, but infamously appeared on the Irish version of Pop Stars with her passport before trying out for Pop Stars The Rivals. And she blew Jerry Halliwell away in auditions for her version of Sting's Fields of Gold. Sarah Harding, which I hate this because this is like, just like was said about her so much and it's totally irrelevant, but it says Sarah Harding was the oldest of the five when she came face to face with the panel. Like, who cares? Someone had to be the oldest.
Irrelevant.
She was wearing a snazzy pair of jeans covered in handprints. She auditioned with the rendition of Steps' Last Thing on My Mind. Kimberly
it's
Walsh.
It's so funny, just to interrupt you very quickly, it's so funny how often these... You'd never audition for with a Steps song or an S Club 7 song now.
No.
It just goes to show how prominent they were at that time and how like much they dominated the charts, because it was the same. I was doing a lot of, I was digging into what you call them, Hearsay recently, and like Pop Stars, that first season that came before this, where they were making a band. And like,
Liberty
again,
X,
they were,
was that
they were,
then?
Yeah, Liberty X was that year as well, but it was all, they're all audition. Well, the reason why I said Reach is because they're all, there was one round where they're all singing Reach. And I'm like, surely this isn't the best song to show off vocal prowess, no?
No.
Anyway,
no.
Carry on.
That was like, so Louis Walsh or someone had like some poll there where he was managing Steps or fucking, or S Club 7, I don't know. Kimberly Walsh blew the judges away with Whitney Houston's Where Do Broken Hearts Go? You might still get that one.
Yeah. That's more likely, yeah.
That's timeless, yeah. Initially, she was given the news by Pete Waterman that she wasn't through to the finals, but Louis later informed her that there was a change of plan and then she was. I don't really know. I'd love to watch this back. Nicola, justice for our Nicola, she was the youngest to make it to the final girl band. She was just 16, a schoolgirl and a waitress when she sang Shakira's Underneath Your Clothes in her Pop Stars audition. She was given the boot just before the final 10 girls were sent to live together, but the singer was brought back in a surprise move after two hopefuls left. It does sound kind of very dramatic and I'd love to rewatch it.
Do you want to know why those two girls left?
Yeah.
And there's an Irish connection. So two of the girls, as you mentioned, were disqualified before the live shows began. Hazel Canswaran, related to who, Reid?
Canswaran?
Yeah. How'd you pronounce that last name?
I don't know that name. Is it supposed to be the same name as someone
I know? Think of an Irish member in The Wanted.
Oh, who's the Irish member in The Wanted? Oh, yeah.
Kiva?
Siva.
Siva?
Yeah.
Anyway, his sister, I'm pretty sure, was found to be too old to take part by 10 days. So like kind of the opposite of what happened to Nadine.
By 10 days? Wow.
Yeah. And while Nicola Ward, we need to do a full episode on this gal. Nicola Ward refused to sign the contract, claiming the pay the group would receive was too low. So as you mentioned, Nicola Roberts and Kimberly Walsh, who had not originally made it to the final 10, were chosen as their replacements.
10 days too old is a bit of a fucking kick in the teeth, isn't it? Like, if you were that good to get all that way, and then they're like, sorry, you're too old by 10 days, that's just television. That they never had any intentions for her.
Yeah.
You don't get that far into the production either without them knowing if you're over or under by 10 days. You know, that was just an excuse for television.
Produced.
Definitely. Who were you? Like, this thing, when I think back to, like, pop bands in my childhood, like, I always had to, like, just pick one of them and identify with one of them and be like, yeah, that's, if I was in the group, that's who I'd be. And, or, like, if it was boy band, I'd be like, that's the one I fancy. And it definitely wasn't. But it was never, I always went for, like, not an underdog, but I never went for the one that everyone else in my class would be picking.
Okay.
Because I just thought that was too basic. So like with Westlife, everyone loved like Shane and Nicky, but like I loved Mark. And I was like, and my mom was like, he's the best singer, so we love him.
Ally.
Yeah. But like I didn't, an ally from such a young age. But my mom was like, he's the best singer, so we fancy him. And I was like, okay, we fancy him. And then with Girls Aloud, I don't really, maybe everyone was Cheryl. I don't know. I loved Kimberly. I was Kimberly.
Yeah, I feel like I was a bit of a Kimberly girl as well, but I don't, I have no, and like Nicola. Nicola taught like in the later years, I think, because she was just like, she was a fashion girly in the way that Cheryl
wanted to be.
Wasn't. How do I say this? Because Cheryl was a fashion girly. Oh my God, the looks. X Factor USA, the huge hair, the long trousers, the corsets, the insane belts. You know what I mean? Like she was a fashion girly of one genre, and then Nicola was more like fashion with an F. You know what I mean? In that's how I interpret it. I suppose she had a more interesting story in terms of like a band that was kind of relatable to Irish people as well, about like embracing her pale skin and like the makeup and stuff like that. I found that really interesting. But there was something about Cheryl as well. She did just have that like
star quality.
Magnetism. But I would also say the same with Nadine. And like, G3, I'm just saying all of them now, but like, you know, Sarah was like fun. Sarah at the edge of haircut and was like cool. Even like, I'm going to talk about this a bit later, but I just finished watching Girls Aloud Off the Record for the first time, which I can't believe it's taken me this long to watch. And again, I'm just obsessed with them all. Like, it's hard not to. They did a really good job of building out this full unit of a girl band that they were all kind of so different, but worked so well visually
and as vocally. A group.
And vocally as a group, obviously, yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk about Off the Record, because I watched, I think, 4 out of 6 parts on YouTube last night. And if there was ever a deep dive into body dysmorphia, or like the pressures of being a female in noughties pop.
Oh my God, truly.
It's so crazy.
Before we get to that, I have another fun fact about Popstars Arrival. So you know who almost didn't make the band? Maybe you know this.
No.
Cheryl, actually. Again, this seems like very produced. So the last girl to be voted off the contest before they made the final band was someone called Javin Hilton. And there was a lot of shock at the time because it seemed like she was going to make the band. Like Cheryl wasn't kind of the front runner. And if you go back and watch, there's been a performance that's gone kind of not viral, but it's come up now that the reunion has come up, where she's performing and she's doing a Sinead O'Connor song, I think. I think she's doing Nothing Compares to You. And it's, now people are going on like it was a fucking absolutely dog shit. It wasn't great. It wasn't like.
Sorry, is this Cheryl or the other girl?
Cheryl.
Okay.
But Javin Hilton, any idea? Do you know who she might be in terms of pop? What if I was to sing, it don't matter what you've got, if your heart is out of love. You could be the stylist, be the most baddest. You could be rolling in money. This is soul sing Starcore. No?
No.
Javine. Remember Javine?
No.
Javine robbed Alicia Dixon's boyfriend off her back in the day as well.
Ooh.
And she had that song that's on Singstar. Don't Matter to Me, I think it's called. Anyway, tune. Just wanted to shove that in for the listeners who, if anyone was going about their day and being like, what's Javine up to lately? No idea, but that's where she came from. So Off the Record, let's talk about it. So this was, I think they'd done one fly on the wall thing for ITV2, like one episode. And then off the back of that, they got this series Off the Record for E4, which kind of followed them. It's very funny. It follows them around the release of a fourth or fifth single off this particular album for the song Whole Lot of History. So the album's already come out. So this is like a follow-up single to that. It's kind of following that journey, them trying to break into other markets, them about to embark on an arena tour, and also give an insight into them as a band. And it's so funny because it is so, in comparison to the, like how produced Popstars was, Popstars Arrivals, and like other moments in their career, this couldn't have been any less produced, in the sense that they're saying whatever they want. You're getting an insight into how they actually interact with each other as a band, which isn't always positive. Because to be honest, I always thought the feud stuff and the thing about them not getting on, I always thought that was just like rumors that people had deduced. But like, it's actually been kind of clear as day from the start. What did you take away from it, from watching it?
I feel like with five girls, if you grab five girls from anywhere, even five best friends, and put them in that kind of environment, there would be absolutely feuds and all and whatever. And they're all like friends again now. That's just kind of, that doesn't surprise me at all. There's no way they would have gotten on all happy clappy for all those years under that, in that environment, you know? I kind of found it a bit nuts. Cheryl and...
In what way?
I just, like, well, I don't know, maybe I was watching a bad version of it, but it just seemed to jump all over the place. Like, I couldn't really follow any of them for very long, or it was talking about something else. It was like, here's Cheryl and Ashley Cole at a fashion show, and then here's Sarah shagging Callum Best.
The fashion show is so funny because it's like, Cheryl's wearing a scarf that was crocheted by some fourth classer, the thinnest, bluest scarf I've ever seen. She's wearing glasses you could probably buy in Deals.
Oh, yeah, like, yeah, the glasses.
Older people buy so that they can read books and stuff, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, they're going to Julian McDonald, if anyone remembers Julian McDonald's Debenham collection, Slay. Ashley Cole would rather be like eating glass, I'd say, than going to this fashion show. It's a perfect time capsule of that time. I think it illustrates how young they were, because this is, they're four albums in at this point, or three, four albums in. And Cheryl's like 21, 22, I think, yeah, about to get married to one of the biggest footballers of all time at that time, I should say. And like, I thought it was very, the timeline jumping is kind of mad. But again, I think that's just because like, maybe a lack of content and a lack of how do we string this all together that it's cohesive, you know what I mean? When, especially you have at the end, Nadine is like, Nadine didn't seem to want film at all. Or like some days she did and other days it was like, I absolutely don't want to, which is her right.
Yeah.
God, it was mad that it opens with Cheryl kind of talking so candidly about the nightclub assault that happened. I didn't realize that, I thought that happened prior to her getting into the band. I thought that was like, she got into the band, all well and good, and then someone dug up that assault and was like, well, she did this. But it was actually like, because the way she even talks about it in the, she assaulted some gal in a nightclub.
In a bathroom?
In a like a toilet attendant in a nightclub. Like, again.
Oh my God.
Like, months after they were put together. I'll bring it up here now, but the way she speaks about it even is like, she's very funny in this because the lack of media training is hilarious. And in some ways, I'm like, bring that back, because you get a lot of honesty with the Sugar and like Babes, these funny kind of sisters, tidbits and stuff.
Sugar Babe's sister. And she was like, oh my God, are you her mom? And she's like, no, I'm her sister. And she was like, oh my God, why did I say that?
That was absolutely hilarious as well. So January 11th, 2003, Cheryl was involved in an altercation with a nightclub toilet attendant, Sophie Amog Bakba, and subsequently charged with racially aggravated assault over the incident. At her trial on 20th of October, she was found guilty of assault, occasioning actual body harm, but cleared of the racially aggravated assault charge and sentenced to 120 hours of community service. Like, the way she speaks about it at the start is as if it happened ages ago. And I don't know, it was very candid in some ways and very funny is not the right word, but like, you just never get it now. You'd never get it now when they go to, I don't know if you got as far as when they went to China and they're talking about like, they're just being so insensitive to the culture there. And again, I know they're young and like, they're the height of their fame and they probably, like, they don't need to ask for anything, such as their success and their riches, but some of the things they're saying about like what Chinese people eat and stuff like that, it's crazy. It's beyond.
Yeah, it's mad. You definitely wouldn't get any of it now. Any of it. You wouldn't like just lob a camera in a car with them and just like see what happens.
They wouldn't allow it though, is the thing. No band would.
Yeah, they'd have managers and red tape everywhere.
I'm trying to think of a comparable band that would do it now.
Little Mix? No, they're not even.
Did they do a documentary?
I feel like they did, but like any of the ones that have come out like in more recent years have been just like thought out, planned, like storylines, arcs. This is just like throw a cameraman in the back of a car with Nadine Coyle and see what she says, like, and then we'll put it on E4.
They're all executive producers on their own documentaries now, so you're not even getting like, the one thing I can appreciate about this is that it's not biased in a way that like they don't have that much control over it. But then I can understand Nadine's frustration at the end where she's like, and now I don't necessarily agree that this is true at the end where she's like, I don't feel like this documentary is a representation of any of us. Whereas like, I don't know. I don't know. Sarah, yes. What a laugh. Would have loved to have gone out with her at some point. Yeah. For Nadine, I think Nadine comes across so strongly. And you can see, even see that with the way she approached getting the job and getting on Popstars and becoming a singer. This was a job for her. This was work. She was up to work every single day. I think you can see the cliques defined from them. Like, you can see it being Nicola, Kimberly, Cheryl, and then Nadine and Sarah, you know?
Yeah.
Did you get that?
Yeah. Kimberly just seemed to be so unproblematic and just kind of happy to be there and just go along with the bits, just for the bits I saw. And then Nicola kind of, I feel like, was always frustrated that she wasn't getting the same attention that the others were getting.
Yeah.
And that was kind of sad. And she was like, you know, when they were like reviewing their video, music video or whatever, and she's like, why do I not have as much makeup as everybody else? Like, I look awful and all. And it was just kind of so sad. And then, I don't know, I feel like Cheryl and Sarah were like, bam, look at us. And then, I don't know.
As you said, it's like this damning insight into, which again, we already know, there's been 85,000 Britney documentaries. Like, every day we wake up and we're like, God, we treated that woman terribly. But even though when they're, the way they're speaking about themselves, about like having like quote unquote fat days and the pressure they had to like look a certain way. And I also heard, there's a scene at the start where Nadine's talking about
upskirts.
The paparazzi culture. Yeah. And the upskirt culture.
God,
and she's talking about how you have to get out of a car. The only way to, there's only a certain way to get out of a car so that you're not upskirted, but it's impossible because you look weird. And then she was talking about how the first time it happened to her, when they published photos of her getting out of a taxi and she wasn't wearing underwear, and how devastated she was. And then it just kept happening. So she just got used to it. Like, that's mind, like, would never happen now.
Exactly. And when they were away in Spain or something, and they were like sunbathing in the.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness,
because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Our villa in the garden, and the next morning Sarah's arse is like the front page, like zoomed in on her arse in a bikini is front page on the paper. When she didn't even realize she was being photographed. It's just like so invasive and so like, I don't know how anyone thought it was okay at any time.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I didn't realize that it covered Nadine and Jesse Metcalf's relationship.
Oh, yeah.
Which is so fucking funny to me.
I didn't get to that bit.
She's like, I fancied him for age. That's sorry. Sorry, dairy people. I'm actually not going to try that again. That was fucking appalling. But she's like, I fancied him for ages. And they have this like this dalliance. Like, it's just so... What a time. What a time. Let me be all in that parallel universe where they got married and ended up together.
Yeah. The love interests.
Yeah. And so Kimberly stayed with her husband, Justin Scott, that features in this... Again, sorry, I'm not sure if you made it that far, but he...
I don't think I did.
There's a section where they all go home, which again, I thought was interesting because they're not going back to like big, fancy, massive houses or even going back to like staged, normal looking houses. They're going back to their actual family homes and you're seeing them interacting with their actual family. And like Sarah's bedroom, she is the most like basic... You know, the like block TV that everyone had in their bedroom, and there's a Girls in a poster up on the wall. Like, it's so, I don't know, it's very refreshing. And to hear them all talk candid, like, one thing I will say as well is I think they were dismissed at the time because they were, and we'll get into it with the music, they were a reality TV band, and it didn't matter how successful they were because they were so successful. But it was like, they were made in reality TV, they're making pop music. they don't play instruments, blah, blah, blah. So like, this actually isn't worth any of our time. But you can see how astute they are and how like in control they were in terms of like their image when it came to their wardrobe for the dancing. Like, they had input into all the music videos. You know, even when they're talking about the charts, when they're talking about where they think a whole lot of history is going to place and all. And Nicola's talking about how pop is kind of on a downward trend at that point, and it's all about R&B. Indies is really coming up, and she's like, people don't want pop. Like, we're fighting a losing battle. I was like, it's irritating that people ever thought you were fucking idiots, because like, were you young and naive in some respects? Yes, but you knew what you were doing and you were so confident in what you were doing. It's so frustrating how people didn't take that seriously at the time. And potentially there's probably still people who don't now, like.
Yeah. Well, they've showed them.
They've certainly
showed them.
They
kept talking about, they were like, you know, we're really like, Katie Malua is up and coming, and all, and so all these people who literally had like one hit wonders or like a little blip on the charts for
a little dalliance on the charts.
No, but you know what I mean? Compared to like,
Katie Malua's had two songs, how dare you?
The legacy that Girls Aloud have now, and they're like, oh my God, we're like Danielle Bedingfield and all, we're like really up against it. And it's like, oh my God, if only you could like jump 5 years into the future and see how much bigger you will be than them. And it's just crazy that they're like all up in arms about it.
But the thing that I think is mad is that they haven't had more number ones than they've had. Like, they've, I'm not saying it's just credit their success, because they've had huge amounts of success and they were so consistent in their output. But when I look at the songs that didn't go to number one in the UK and here as well, we are also responsible. I want to punch drywall. Like, some, like.
Do they not have a record for like the, like, what was it, like 10, like their 10 singles in a row in the top 10 or something, or 20 singles in a row in the top 10 or something? They've some sort of record. I'll find that. You keep going.
Something like that, yeah. It just
most
makes
consecutive top 10 entries in the UK by a female group.
You hear them talking about that in Off the Record as well, that they're like, this the whole lot of history has to go into the top 10 because every song they'd released at that point had at least gone into the top 10. But it's funny now by comparison, if you have a group or an act release, like, to not get number one is kind of a flop, like.
Yeah.
And they had so many tracks that didn't go number one. It's crazy. We get into it. Well, sorry, what's your favourite Girls Aloud song?
Ooh, there's so many. Let me see. I love The Promise.
Yeah, you're such
like,
a promise
guy. You cannot tell me that The Promise comes on and your hips don't start just popping automatically. Like, no one can tell me that.
This is the thing as well. They were really, like, all of their pop songs, and I mean this respectfully, they're so weird. They're not by-the-numbers pop songs.
Yeah.
So, like, they worked on a load of their songs with Xenomania, this, like, English songwriting and production team. And I have a couple of quotes from one of the main girls. I don't think she's with them anymore, but was at the time, and I kind of given her reaction to them getting back together. But she's working on a load of Miranda Cooper is her name. She's actually working on a load of musicals now. She's writing a musical about her own life, and she's working on another one that's on in the UK at the minute, potentially not West End, but it's about kind of historical women figures in history. Yeah, like, you can see that musical approach to songs like, musical theatre, I should say. The musical theatre approach to, like, you know, songs like Biology. That's a weird pop. Like, there's no clear, you know, do you know the way it goes in from like, and then it's like, I got one elephant. Like, there's so many different, it doesn't follow a clear structure. Like, I suppose it's very. Yeah.
Something kind of ooh is like that as well, isn't it? It was like three different songs mashed together.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry. Love Machine. What else? Girls Aloud songs.
Love Machine, The Promise, Sound of the Underground, No Good Advice. And then, like, I don't know why my brain is saying Can't Speak French, but I actually don't think I don't think I would click on Can't Speak French. They recorded Can't Speak French in French. Did you know that?
Yes. As I like did a know little, that,
like, as a little, like, tongue in cheek, like, ooh.
Look at us, bilingual queens.
Yeah, isn't this funny? What's yours?
Okay, so Call the Shots.
Oh, yeah.
Call the Shots, Love Machine.
I already know yours. Hang on. One came on earlier and I was like, this is Fionnuala's The Show.
Oh, I love The Show. Should've should've hung around the kitchen on the way and like a lady.
Maybe. Yeah, I knew it. As soon as it came on, I was like, somebody loves this, and I think it's
Jump. I do love Jump as well. Sexy No No, I could take or leave, I'm gonna be honest.
Yeah. Jump in that Love Actually fucking music video.
Something New is a fucking absolute stomper. Stomper! I love the premise as well, but I don't know if it'd make my Mount Rushmore. Okay, so Something New, Call the Shots, The Show, Love Machine. That's my Mount Rushmore, I think.
Yeah. You can't really go too far out.
What's their biggest selling song to date in the UK?
I am going to say...
This is an obvious answer, I'm going to be honest.
Sound of the Underground?
Yeah.
Jump? Sound of the Underground.
Sound of the Underground. Track has racked up over 1 million UK chart units in total, including 42.8 million streams, and it's their biggest physical seller so far. Over 562,000 copies. That's just physical singles. That's nuts.
That's crazy. I had it.
Did you?
I think I had the single because I only know like Sound of the Underground and like No Good Advice and then maybe like one other song. And I think that was all like on the version I had.
Their aesthetic I thought was always just so cool and very original as well. Like I remember like No Good Advice. You can see that video and the wardrobe in your mind's eye. I regularly think about the like froofy pink prom dresses from Biology and how they change into like the black and red kind of satin skirts. Girls Aloud owned a satin skirt, a corset and a belt. Let me tell you. That's Girls Aloud, the blueprint. I love the Can't Speak French video because it's very obviously Marie Antoinette. Call the Shots.
Do you think
Sarah like had that terrible haircut? I will just say, but like again, owned it. Yeah, but it was like really sleek, metallic, futuristic. The Promise, the huge hair, the gold dresses.
The Promise was so iconic.
That was another thing I took from Off the Record. This was really an era of backcoming.
Yeah, and I miss the era of backcoming. I'm ready for that to come back.
No, Breed.
It's only a few months away. I really feel it. I really feel it.
Stop manifesting that.
Ugg boots, skinny jeans, a little like quiff. I'm back there.
Uggs are back. We're nearly back with skinny jeans. We don't need to bring quiffs back, and we don't need to bring backcoming back.
I don't know.
I just don't want to bring quiffs back because I was so bad at them. I couldn't figure out how you did them.
They kept making this like hashing at this point in the Off the Record that like the look is equally as important as the music. And like you could see for them it definitely was. But do you think that's still like a case for bands nowadays?
Yeah, but I just don't think anyone does it as well. You know what I mean? Like look how much it's funny because when you again, not to fucking drag Little Mix or whatever, and I know it's not like not to be fucking comparing whatever, but you remember Little Mix's earliest iterations where it was like they were scrambling to try and find an aesthetic and what they thought was, and that's not to say it wasn't of the time, but none of it was cohesive. You know what I mean?
Like,
and it almost became their aesthetic, but as a joke, you know what I mean? Where it was like, fucking Perry's wearing a dicky bow and we've got a hat and we're 45 necklaces. It was like, what? You know what I mean? Like, it was just like, I don't even think, I'm trying to think back to like Little Mix eras now, and it's even really hard to establish them as a look, you know?
Yeah.
I'm so open to correction on that. But again, they had the music to back it up, so like whatever, I don't really care. But it was just, and that's not to say they didn't have fucking flops or whatever. If I saw another Nautical Stripe and Off the Record, I was like, God help me, I'm going to kick
someone.
That's
what I mean. Maybe it's just not enough time has passed with Little Mix. Like, maybe, like, a few years back, like, you could look at Girls Aloud and be like, what the fuck were they doing with the fashion? Like, it was crazy, or like the look or whatever. And then maybe in another 5 years, we'll be like, actually, Little Mix had some iconic looks that are only now just kind of becoming a little bit iconic.
Maybe.
You know, maybe not enough time has passed. Now they're still just in, like, the cringe era.
You're giving them a lot of grace. I appreciate it.
But like, I was a girl who had a mustache necklace when they were wearing fucking dicky bows and
I can't believe you just admitted that out loud.
I know, but like, people were, that was an aesthetic at the time, and maybe just not enough time has passed that we can accept that yet.
I'm just trying to think, there's definitely probably K-pop examples that are doing aesthetic and like look really well, but it's not an area that I'm like, I don't know enough about Blackpink to comment on them at all.
Well, I suppose Taylor Swift is doing it, isn't she? Like, she's all the, like the image and the image, the music and the look go hand in hand with each of her albums.
Yeah, I think there's an argument to be made against Taylor Swift in some respects, though, that some of it isn't really, some of it is very costumey.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I feel like the success of eras is that you can like, you know, like Lover is going to be like all pastels and colours and it's like everything just has like a clear like...
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Thing, like, you
identity,
know?
And
that's
kind
of, it's not just like one big show. It's like each of them... I feel like, I hope Girls Aloud come out and do like, what's for their live show, something similar.
Okay, do you want to know what their four UK number ones were?
Yes.
This list makes me so, so unspeakably angry, bar two of them, I would say.
Half of this list.
Yeah, okay. Do you want to guess?
Sound of the Underground.
Yeah.
Jump.
No.
Oh.
Yeah, infuriating. We're already off to an infuriating start.
The Promise?
Yeah.
That was a Christmas number one, I feel, was it? Or was like, no, maybe not a Christmas number one.
I remember, I have such a vision of their X Factor performance for that song. And like them in the trailer and like, I think it was Dermot hosting at that point, and Dermot interviewing them.
Yeah. Biology? That's a stupid guess. That's a stupid guess. Never mind.
One's a ballad and one's a collaboration.
Will you ever?
No.
I'll stand by you. I'll stand by you.
Sorry, I will say I fucking hate See the Day. And I hate that music video where it like zooms in and out of the snow globe. It makes me actually irrationally angry. What are you zooming out for? Give me a break.
I'll Stand By You was for charity. So that probably went to number one.
Yeah.
And the other one was a?
Collaboration.
Oh. Oh, well, Sugar Babes.
Yeah. What's the song?
Walk This Way, You Better Talk This Way.
Horrific. How? And again, that was for charity. It took the girls being like, will you put your hand in your pocket for a few shekels for them to get four number ones? Think of all the songs we just listed as our Mount Rushmore and they didn't let any of them go to number one.
Who was it like beating them out of the time? Like Agro Santos? Like who was making better music?
I swear to fucking
who was making better music?
The Promise got the group Brit Award for Best British Single, which is something they talked about extensively in the Off The Record. Two number one albums, which one of them was a greatest hits album, which again, what the fuck is wrong with all of you? And Out Of Control, which was their last album as a group, which is the album I think that had Something New. No, sorry. So 10, Something New was on 10. And Something New only went to number two.
Did you... have or currently in your house do you have a pair of Girls Aloud eyelashes?
No. I wish I did. They must be worth a fortune now, surely.
Can you not still get them? I feel like you can still get them in some places.
I'm going to Google it while you talk.
So they have, obviously they had like the eyelashes are very iconic. They had like so many other endeavours. They came together with Mattel in 2005 to produce Fashion Fever Barbies, where each member designed the outfit and the look of the doll modeled after themselves. Now, if you look up these Barbies, they could be anyone. They don't... they don't look... oh, my God. They don't look... You would never look at them and go, oh, that's definitely Girls Aloud. Like, I don't even think Kimberly has red hair. Like, it's like... But anyway, so they did that. They had the eyelashes, as we said. They had, like... They endorsed like a hair care brand called Sunsilk. They did TV ads for the Nintendo DS. They were in, they had a
charm bracelet
for Pandora.
Oh my God, remember the Nintendo DS ads?
Oh. Yeah. They were in St. Trinian's. Do you remember that whole?
Sarah I was going like to suggest we might do that for Movie Club this month as a companion piece, potentially.
There's two of them, isn't there? Like, I think Sarah actually had a role in St. Trinian's 2.
Yeah, but I think
they had a song in
St. Trinian's
1 or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. I only saw the first one, I think. I feel like if I walked into the chemist today, I could get a pair of Girls Aloud eyelashes.
You can't. I'm Googling them. Like, Cheryl's gone on to collect. So, Eye Lore had done the original collection. And it was like, obviously they all had their own style. Now, I will say there was one style that never sold as well, and you'd always see it on the shelves and you'd be a bit like, there was one set of them was like, these are the fucking lashes to have. And the rest of them were like a bit, or two of them were normal. And then I think the rest of them were a bit mad. They were a bit out there for girls of the noughties. You know what I mean? I think Sarah had like tinsely bits in her. So everyone was like, well, oh, you can only find them on eBay here. I'm going to, I lore girls aloud. Bandwagon listeners, if you have some, can you please
send them to us?
No, don't send them to us, but send us pictures so we can share with the other listeners if anyone's like, what the fuck is going on? I'm looking at Cheryl Festival False Lashes, brand new, never worn. Yeah, they have glitter in them. They're looking mad.
They had the original ones, and then they came out with festival ones the next year.
How much money do they make on them, do you reckon? Because they just seemed like, that's a part of culture I think people will never, even us talking about it now, I just feel like you will never understand. You had to be there. You had to go to Boots and you had to have pennies, the Nadine slash like, Kimberly like, slash Cheryl lashes.
Yeah. So they had the original lashes came out in 2009 and then the festival themed lashes came out in 2010 and then they had special limited edition 10th anniversary lashes in 2012. Just crazy.
Again, if someone can speak to us off the record, no pun intended, from iLore, I really, really want to know how much money.
We need to hear from you.
Yeah, I need.
Yeah, because like, what's the markup on eyelashes? Who knows?
Do you want to hear about the feud, the reason why it all ended? Well, actually, sorry, on the subject of eyelashes, there was another TV show after Off the Record, and it was called The Passions of Girls Aloud. And it revolved around each member.
Not Christ. Christ. Not to be confused.
Not Christ. Do not confuse them with Christ. It revolved around each member of the group, with the exception of Nadine, achieving aspirations outside of the group, which I thought was very interesting. So Nicola's episode focused on her setting up Dainty Doll, the makeup line that I referred to earlier, that was for like the pale girls. Sarah learned polo for some reason. Kimberly ended up, hers was about getting onto the West End, which I would like foreshadowed a lot of her later career, but she went on to play Fiona in the West End and Shrek the Musical and did loads of other musicals. But she had Caesar auditioning for Les Mis. And then Cheryl learned, this is so fucking ridiculous. Cheryl learned street dancing, but she wants to audition for a Will.i.am video. So when I was reading the premise of this, I was like, so this is just fully SponCon for Will.i.am's song Heartbreaker, which she's a featured artist on anyway. She might not be a featured artist on it, but she sings backup vocals and she's in the video anyway. And she has to learn how to crump. It's just.
Did Kimberly have a song with Agro Santos?
She did. And it was called Like You Like.
Oh my God,
Like You Like. I think. Oh, I'm sorry. Insane. I will say Nadine's passion was supposed to be conducting an orchestra, but she pulled out and didn't want to do it because she actually wanted to become a charity worker in Bolivia and they wouldn't let her do it.
Wow.
Iconic.
Nadine stuck to her guns, and I think that's paid off for her in a lot of ways. Like, she's kind of, I don't know. It's maybe, I don't know.
Sorry, before I get into the split as well, I think when they did split, I think the idea was that Kimberly was being, because she was like so likable and so girl next door, I think she was being primed to be a TV presenter, and she ended up hosting a show on Viva, if anyone remembers that music channel.
Yeah.
A weekly kind of music celebrity news show called Suck My Pop.
Oh.
Who was her co-host? Co-host. Like my Brit. Seen very recently on another reality show.
My brain has jumped. Seen very recently on another reality show. Okay, my brain was jumping to like, what's your man's name that used to do like Big Brother's Little Brother, but it's not him.
But Big Brother.
Oh. Was it the guy, your man, the new host?
Yes, Will Best.
Yeah, that's
he
like.
He has been on vision, the goal for years.
Wow.
Look up
that
the
was
photos
the vision of
together.
Who I had in my head. It was like him or Joel Dommett or like Greg James or like that whole, one of those guys.
No, he's been on the goal. Anyway, apparently, like she was kind of slated in terms of her performance. So I think then she was like, right, TV presenter, not for me, off to the West End. And that's what she did. Anyway, let's talk about the split. So they did a 12-day tour for 10, which was the Hits tour and their kind of next like compilation greatest hits album. This was in 2012 going into 2013. So they announced their split March 21st, 2013. And in the statement they said, "Dear Allouders," which is the worst fandom name ever.
Fans Allowed.
Surely we need to come together, guys, and change the name. I'm just, okay, yeah. Anyway, we'll do that at some point. "Dear Allouders, we just want to say from the bottom of our hearts, thank you. This tour has been an amazing experience and the perfect chance to say thank you for being on this journey with us through a decade. It has far exceeded any of our dreams and we hope we are forever your inspiration and reminder that dreams really do glitter. Your love and support will stay with us forever, but we have now come to the end of our incredible time together. Love you lots." So Nadine claimed at the time that the rest of the band had decided on this split without consulting her. She says she was told minutes before they went on stage for the final performance of the tour. And that she didn't want the band to end. "I didn't want the band to end. It was as simple as that. I didn't think we were going to end. We'd done all the promo thing. We were all together having a great tour, wearing Victoria's Secret wings and stomping up and down the catwalk every night, loving every single minute of it. And then on the very last night of the tour, our management and publicist came up to me and said the girls wanted to split up the band. I was thinking, what? I was in hair and makeup about to get into my costume and the show was starting in 20 minutes. I was shocked. I went back to my makeup lady and told her and I was like, fuck, I don't have a job. What am I going to do? I screamed and cried on stage and off stage. She said she was really dramatic for about 15 minutes and realized she had to accept the decision."
15 minutes.
But then apparently she wouldn't sign any of the paperwork that confirmed that the group was done. So technically she's the only, well, like obviously this was before they got back together. At the time, she was the only remaining member of the band. She said this was an interview with The Mirror in 2014.
Does that mean? Does she get money for things or anything?
I'd say it's just a fucking formal technicality, to be honest.
Okay. She's not getting like royalties or anything just because she's the only one left in it.
So she was like, "I never signed it, so technically I'm still in Girls Aloud. I'm a one-man band. I need holograms made up with them so I can go back out on stage in 30 years time." Now that interview was a year after the split, but when the split actually happened, she took to Twitter the next morning. No good things happen when you take to Twitter. She said, Nadine said, "You should know by now I had no part in any of this split business. I couldn't stop them. I had the best time and want to keep going." Cheryl then went to Attitude magazine and said that Nadine was full of shit and accused her of holding the band to ransom. Quote, "She was the one who wanted to make a solo record, which is why we took the hiatus. She wants to come out and say we broke the band up. No, she shouldn't tell Porky Pies. Okay, so do you want us to tell the truth? She wasn't going to make another Girls Aloud record until she got a solo deal. I feel she held us to ransom and then made her solo record deal. It's the truth. She's saying that we broke the band up. So there you go." And there was kind of this slight back and forth for a little while. As you said, Cheryl was on X Factor. And then in 2017, she joined Simon Cowell for Judges' Houses. And this must have been like an aside kind of clip of them chatting. He's talking to her about reuniting Girls Aloud. And he says, "Why don't we get Nadine for dinner, the three of us, and we should talk about it. I mean, Nadine is not exactly storming the charts as a solo artist, is she? This was just when she'd attempted to relaunch her solo career with Go to Work."
Oh.
And like, "I didn't realize the time she tried to go out on tour. The tour was cancelled because of something to do with venues. I'm doing bunny ears here. I don't really know if that was the case. I just don't know if it just didn't sell."
Yeah.
And then obviously Nadine did I'm a Celeb in 2019. And obviously then
she kind of redeemed herself with that, didn't she?
I think so, yeah. But at the time, obviously all the girls are like questioned about her doing I'm a Celeb as well. I think Kimberly was on Loose Women in November of that year that she was on. And she kind of talked about how she had like a friend connection with Cheryl and Nicola. And then she said with Sarah and Nadine, it was more of a work relationship, but it's like family. You'd feel for them. You don't see them all the time. But then in July 2020, Kimberly said lockdown actually credited her, or lockdown helped her like reflect on everything. And she ended up kind of reaching out to Nadine and they were chatting and they kind of got their kids together and stuff like that. And then obviously the death of Sarah, I think that's been an interesting thing to, interesting again, not the right word, but if you look at any, they're doing loads of interviews obviously to promote this reunion and the tour and stuff, and all the comments are talking about how like false it is or whatever that they're back together after Sarah's death, and like Nadine was the only one who was in touch with Sarah in the lead up to her death. I'm not sure how these commenters know that, if they do, if it's all just bullshit, whatever, but like, I don't know. I think ultimately, and again, I'm not sure who I think I'm, who I am speaking for Sarah, right, but I, from the little I know of her, I think she would have wanted the tour. And I think it is nice to do it in her memory. And I think ultimately that's what's important. And I think, look, at the end of the day, I think it's pretty obvious. And I think the girls understand that, that in terms of the real strong friendships, it's obviously Cheryl, Nicola, Kimberly. But at the same time, to go through something, Sarah's death, but also the career of them together as a band, that does bond you in a way. You know what I mean? Like, in the same way that like I'm still friends with people I worked with. Are they fucking Bezzy Wezzy mates? No. But at the same time, you hold them in a certain esteem and you want the best for them. Also recognizing that it's a specific type of friendship that operates in that world. Anyway, I don't know if any of what I just said made sense, but go on.
When Sarah was on Big Brother, I like really remember her talk, people like them asking her about like, how do you get on with the girls now? And she was just, it was exactly like, they all seem to have said the same thing where it's like, we're not best friends. I talk to Nadine regularly. I don't really hear from the others, but like, we're like, you know, we had like the special thing. And like, if they ever needed me, I'd be there. And I feel like that was the whole vibe. And it's kind of sad that it took her passing for this to come about and she didn't get to do it with them or be part of it with them. But it is kind of nice that it's coming back together and like they're all back for her.
And you know what? I think it's right that they're not doing new music. I know I mentioned the Xenomania woman there. She said she's been kind of digging through the vaults just as of like, just Miranda Cooper. She said she's been, her and Brian Higgins, he was kind of the main Xenomania guy. They've been kind of going through the vaults and like listening to the old material and the demos. But just to kind of like, for a trip down memory lane, nobody's doing any new music. To be honest, I think ultimately that's the right thing because I think it's just too weird. And Sarah was such a prominent member of the band. As they all are, but you know what I mean? It's just, I think that's the right call. But one thing that Miranda pulled from, so on the original demo of Sound of the Underground, there's a cat meowing throughout the whole thing, a Bengal cat called Pushkin. It's their neighbor's cat. So there you go. Fun fact.
That's fun.
And also another fun fact from Cooper. You know how she came up with the chorus of Sound of the Underground?
No. Being on the train.
She sang Wheels on the Bus over and over and over again over the drums and the bass.
Because the wheels on the bus go round.
The wheels on the bus go round and around. Wheels on the bus go round. She's a fucking genius. Xenomania forever, I swear to God.
I kind of love that.
Okay, so we're getting tickets?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. I'm so sold. I'm so sold. We may hold this back, though, until the tickets come out because I don't want anyone else fighting me for them. I don't want to be in a fucking Coldplay queue for Girls Aloud.
Wait, girls going to run this. Well, they're doing 2 dates, so I'm like, surely, it'll be fine.
Yeah. It'll be good.
Anyway, can't wait. If you have any specific Girls Aloud memories,
any merch, any Top of the Pops posters, any Kiss magazine posters, I still have mine, definitely 100% have them in a box somewhere.
Yeah, send them on. We'd love to see them and share them on Instagram. It's @ bandwagons.
The Instagram.
Bandwagons Pod or Bandwagons Podcast? Bandwagons Podcast.
Podcast. Twitter is Bandwagons Pod. I don't even think we have Twitter anymore.
No,
I
deleted it and then I think I remade the account again by mistake because I wanted to go creeping on someone. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. This has been Bandwagons. I've been Breed.
I've been Fanula.
Oh, I'm not Breed. I didn't even mean to say that. Sorry. We'll catch you next week. We're on Patreon next week. And we're probably going to watch the Internians. Maybe. I don't know. We'll see. Don't hold us to that.
We'll see.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.